Caroline, Willie D. Mays, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We're streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. We're broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. The Titans were out on the practice field last week for minicamp. We'll be back out on the practice field this week for OTAs. And joining us now to break all of it down and give us the latest is TD. Teron Davenport, brought to you by ESPN Bet Sportsbook. TD, appreciate you for joining us today. Just to kind of kick it off, I'll open it up to you. Your biggest takeaways from minicamp last week?
Yeah, I mean, there's a few takeaways. I think the defense is clearly ahead of the offense, and outside of Thursday was a good day for the offense. But, I mean, listen, Denard Wilson, he showed up on Wednesday. He had the black Air Force Ones on and the all-black Titans gear, and he meant business. And they had their way with the offense, you know, in that little red zone 7-on-7 period. So, for me, that's the big takeaway, just seeing, you know, some of the things that he's doing in team period, very creative with the blitzes and coverage behind it, as he said he was going to be. But then, first and foremost, it's that – those corners, they're getting connected on the outside with the receivers, and you could tell that aggressive is the way that they're going to approach things on the island out there.
And it did kind of seem, just starting from Denard Wilson's introductory press conference, that, okay, this guy, like, I kind of figured things would be aggressive. And everything that I have heard from Denard Wilson, all of the reports that I've read and heard coming from OTAs and from minicamp, is that the defense is, in fact, aggressive. And I think that's kind of the tough thing about practices, is you could look at it from one side or another. You know, well, the defense is playing well. Does that mean the defense is going to be good, or the offense isn't very good, or vice versa? So you can kind of view it any way that you want. But I think the important part of where we are at this point in the offseason is the process. What have you seen from Denard Wilson's process, and maybe how he may do things a little bit differently from the previous regime, and what we can expect?
The process that we're watching, and I think when you look at this, you look at the traits, you look at what's going on. And one of the things that he talks about is obnoxious communication or violent communication. Obnoxious communication, that's what it is. And you hear, you know, relays going in the secondary. You hear the linebackers talking. So you have that. All of the things that you will want in a good defense or expect in a good defense are what he's starting to show. So regardless of how good the Titans offense is with Brian Callahan and them, you're seeing the traits that you want to see from the defense. And here's the thing. We haven't even seen Lejarius Sneed and Chidobe Awuzie on the field in like 7-on-7 full action. You know, they've been a part of some aggressive walkthroughs, but that's it.
We're talking with TD, Teron Davenport. I said Terrell for some reason. TD, now, I've seen this before where, because, you know, each season, the Titans have, you think that's going to be the season where the offense sort of comes out of that normal shell that they've been in for the last 20 years, meaning we're going to be a run-dominant team, play really great defense, and yeah, we'll throw the football around, but our bread and butter is playing defense and running the football. Do you think from talking with your time talking with Brian Callahan and being around the team as much as you have been this offseason, do you think they can honestly stick to that philosophy of becoming more of a passing team, or sort of entering in this new era of football? Because I've seen and I've heard, yeah, the Titans, they're going to do this, or any other team, they're going to do, even Baltimore, they're going to do this. And then they ultimately fall back to what has allowed them to win games in the past, and that's playing really good defense and running the football.
Yeah. Well, I'll say this first. It's funny you call me, you started to say Terrell, because today before I got on this call with you guys, I was getting my Terrell Owens on working out in the driveway.
Were there helicopters and everybody, were they circling?
ESPN reporters.
Yeah. That's what I thought of, as I was doing a core workout. I said, man, I feel like, yo.
But, that is one of the best of all time.
Yeah. But, I mean, to the question at hand, I do think that this is a team that's going to get out of that old traditional way of doing things, which was, as you mentioned, run the football and play defense. I think just the fact you look at these options, right? I mean, when was the last time they had a trio like this, right, where they had a guy in DeAndre Hopkins, they had a guy in Tyler Boyd, and another one in Calvin Ridley, and then you look at Treylon Burks, who's going to be clawing and scratching to get time, and there's other guys as well. So I think they're going to pass the ball. I don't think it's going to be, you know, one of those 70-30 or 80-20 type of offenses. They're going to run the ball when need be, and I think that's the pretty cool thing about this offense, the way it's projected to be, because Brian Callahan, when I asked him about balance, he said they're going to do whatever it takes to win. And you look at the Bengals teams before, you know, there were times where Joe Burrow was throwing the ball 45 to 50 times, but there were other times where it was 30 to 35, and they ran the ball with Joe Mixon and with, you know, Samaje Perine and those guys, you know. So I think that's something that you're going to see with this offense. I firmly believe that this Titans TNT, that's what I call them, Tajay Spears and Tony Pollard. I think those two are going to be a formidable 1-2. And you look at, you know, short yardage situations, whether it's Julius Chestnut, Hassan Haskins, I think they have what could be a pretty nice running back core that could actually do all things that they need to in addition to passing.
Now, Teron, which guy you feel needs to have a really good camp come July? Because, you know, listen, there's always going to be question marks. Obviously, Treylon. Let's take Treylon aside, because we know he needs, not only does he need to have a sort of a excellent camp, but he needs to be able to take that and transfer it over into games. So I know Treylon's probably top of the list for just about everybody. But is there someone else or position that you think needs to come out of this, out of training camp with, okay, we feel a little bit better about this person or this position?
You know, honestly, I think Will Levis. And that's not to say there's a knock on him. I know, as has been talked about extensively, that Wednesday practice, you know, where Denard Wilson had those black forces on and came to fight. I know that's been talked about, but I think when you look overall, Will Levis, he's a very confident player. So I don't think this has to happen for his confidence, so to speak, but I think it has to happen just for the belief of everybody. And I think he has to have a good camp. And if he can do that, look, this Chicago defense, they're good. You know what I mean? So you don't want to start the season off on a bad note. So I think everything from now until when they have that opener there at Soldier Field is going to have to be a ramping up period, and they need to explode, and they could really set the tone for the season, at least the first four games. So for me, it's Will Levis. I think he's the catalyst. You know, you remove Derrick Henry out of this, and the engine to the car is gone, and somebody has to step up and be that engine.
Talking to Teron Davenport, and Teron, should we be thinking a little bit differently on what Will Levis will be asked to do now without Derrick Henry and a new offense? I'm just trying to think of – I'm trying to put myself in his shoes. I got a new coach, a new coordinator. I don't have Derrick Henry. The offense, I think, is trying to move into a place where they're going to throw the ball more. That's a lot on his plate. Is he ready for it? And you know, what do you make of that assessment in the second year of his tenure here?
Yeah, and that's the thing. Everything is new for the most part, outside of a couple familiar faces, right? And Hopkins and Spears and Wiley and Chig, Treylon Burks, you know. But everything is new. And then you look at the scheme. But I think the newness is actually good for him. I firmly believe that Brian Callahan is a guy that is going to be able to get the most out of him because of the experience that he has. And obviously, he's not going to be the only one spending time with him. Bo Hardigree, Nick Holtz, those guys. But so far from what we've seen, the drills and things that they've worked on, they seem to be pretty good, you know, and working on different aspects that he feels he needs to improve. And you look at the change in mechanics, that's something else that's a little new, right? He's experimenting with his base and getting that a little bit more firm and twitchy, et cetera. So I think Levis is ready. If there's one thing that I think he has an advantage, it's his mindset, his mentality. You look at, you know, what he went through at Penn State, where, you know, he was really good. And then, you know, he kind of lost the job, and then he was brought in just for running situations. And then he transferred to Kentucky and what he went through there, right, with the two OCs. And then last year, the drop into 33. And I think he's well-tested for what is going to be asked of him. And in my opinion, this is an opportunity that I think he's starving for.
Hmm. How much more do you think philosophically they will throw the ball compared to what we're used to year in and year out, where if they're not the number one run-heavy team in the league, they're pretty close, or they have been over the last era that we can all think about, led by number 22. How is that going to? How much different is that going to look? What do you think their philosophy is of run-pass balance?
I think this offense is going to look very similar to how it did in Arthur Smith's last year. And I think when you look at towards the end, right, you know, when Derrick Henry got hurt, I think that's what the offense is going to look like. They'll run the ball when need be, but there's going to be a good mix of play-action passing, and I think it's going to be spread out a little bit more. So I would say, you know, more along the lines of like a 65-25 type of – or 65-35 type of split, you know what I mean? Like that way where – again, they run the ball when they need to, but they're going to pass the ball more. So I would say more like that 2021 offense.
Teron, I just would love to get your take on what you think the domino effect is going to be on Justin Jefferson's contract. We've tried to tackle it here, but I'm thinking along the lines of even going down to like Brandon Ayuk and maybe even, you know, what the new deal for Jalen Waddle has, you know, for Miami and what that does. I've been listening to some different podcasts as they cover this. You think about how it affects every team. Mm-hmm. What comes to mind for you when you see that Jefferson contract?
Well, you know, I don't mean to let the cat out of the bag, but I had a talk with Derek Mason, and he said that he might consider coming back, given wow. the money that you guys are getting. No, I think it, honestly, you know, Torrey Dandy, you know, he's probably rubbing his hands together and licking his chops and saying, yeah, we're about to have some fun. Because, you know, CeeDee Lamb is going to be up soon. Jamar Chase, you know, these guys, they have to step on top of that deal that was done for Justin Jefferson because they're right there in the same stratosphere. So to me, you know, that deal set the floor for Chase or CeeDee Lamb's deal, which is going to set the floor for the others. And I think when you look at a Brandon Ayuk, a T. Higgins, those guys, while they're really good in their own right, they're not exactly on that tier, but I still think it does elevate the amount of money that they'll be able to acquire. So simply put, you know, yesterday's price is not today's price.
No, it never is, and the next guy is going to get more than the guy that's at the top now. So it's not about who's better. It's about when you sign that deal. So Jefferson signs his deal. Chase and CeeDee Lamb are next, and I guarantee you they will get more money somehow, some way, whether it's guarantee money or just AAV, which may not mean necessarily more money, but your AAV may be higher. I do want to ask you, going back to the Titans TD, which position do you feel is going to have the best battle in camp?
That's a good one. you know, I there's a few that you could say. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go with that right guard position. I think Sadiq Charles and Dylan Raiders are going to fight that thing out. And I'm intrigued by that because they sat Raiders down from the rip and told him that he was a right guard or a guard, not right guard, but a guard.
Talk about Raiders on when you were on with Jarrett last week.
Yeah. And he put on, you know, some muscle. He feels good after not being able to, you know, having to rehab. So I think you look at him, you look at Sadiq Charles, he's a guy that no one is really talking about. He's a very intriguing addition because he's someone that, you know, Washington, they were really high on him. Now, remember, that staff is gone. So it wasn't like they just outright moved on from him. The team moved on from that staff, and he was made available. So every time he was ready to turn the corner, it would be some nagging, silly injury that he would have. But he's a guy who they felt had a lot of promise. So I want to see what could happen when you pair that with, of course, with Bill Callahan.
Yeah, it's interesting to see how that goes. And quickly before I pass it over to Caroline. Caroline.
I guess you can
Terrell.
With yes.
Terrell,
I'm
Caroline.
Messing with you, Caroline.
Yeah, Terrell Davenport, Wilbur. Carolyn Fenton.
Wally.
Yeah, Darren Mason.
I'm messing with her. Inside joke. Kayla Farley. Yeah, Kayla Farley. I listened to Kayla Farley's interview, and I just feel for the kid, man. I call him a kid because he's the same age as my daughter, right around the age. But you saw the gratefulness in his eyes when he was talking mm-hmm. about him just being, it's like, it's beyond football for him now. Every opportunity I have to step out on this field, I'm taking full advantage of it because of what's gone on, you know, since he got drafted, whether it was the injuries, what happened to his house, his family. It's just been so much negative stuff that has happened to this kid that he's finally come in, and it seems like he's healthy. It seems like he's in a good place mentally. But you could just see, like, the joy in his eyes that he's just back out here and is able to mm-hmm. compete.
Yeah, and that's the thing I love because, you know, the appreciation that he has. And just, I'm not going to say it gives him purpose, but it gives him fulfillment being out there. But, you know, the one thing he said that I loved is he said, I'm not coming to training camp to participate. I'm coming to compete. So while it's a feel-good story and he appreciates, you know, everybody's sympathy or empathy, et cetera, he's out there to win a job. Mm-hmm. And I love that. I love that he kept the main purpose still the main purpose. And, you know, he's someone just, you know, I was able to, you know, establish a relationship with him early and just kind of seeing him come through all of this. And it's a lot. And I'm glad that he did share that, you know, he did think that football was over for him because that's what his group thought. You know, that was the definite belief that, hey, man, it's over. And for him to be able to come back out there, just period, be out there for all of OTAs and minicamp, I think that's just it's a great thing.
It's been a tough road for Caleb Farley, no doubt. We're talking with Terron Davenport. You brought up the right guard position. I want to stick on the offensive line, kind of look at J.C. Latham. Listening to his press conference last week, it was like maybe what a run through a wall. It was like ear caffeine. You know, J.C. Latham saying all of the right things, talking about what motivates him, talking about how he kind of wanted to shake this reputation of being a Bama guy and being entitled. I think a lot of times whenever I think about Alabama guys in the league, you know, I don't think of it as being a negative thing, but he's obviously doing everything in his power to earn the respect of his teammates, of his coaches, put in all the work. I loved everything that I heard from J.C. Latham.
Yeah.
What have you seen from J.C. Latham and kind of that interaction with Bill Callahan and how he's coming along the left side?
Yeah, it's funny because if you look back to Calvin Ridley's presser, he said that he's 29, but he's really like 25 or 27. And it's almost the reverse with J.C. Latham, where it's like, yeah, you're 20 whatever, but you're really like 30-something. The way he's come in and he just fits in so naturally. And then watching his work ethic, we know the stories about him having to be dragged back inside because the thunderstorm was coming and they weren't supposed to be out there. And then you see how he's just come along with going against Olga and Bertha, the sleds, right, and just the progression that he's made. And then you see him receive the coaching, and then the very next rep, it's corrected. And I don't think that there's a negative thing that could be said about J.C. Latham right now. I really don't. And, I mean, look, even Jarrett, you know, even Stillman is yet to say a negative thing about J.C. Latham. So that lets you know, you know, there's with him. Yeah, and I just think, you know, you look at the size, the hands. Look, I shook hands with Trent Williams, and I shook hands with J.C. Latham, and they got the same mitts, man. And both times, you know, I said, man, Lord have mercy if either of these guys slap me, because their hands are so thick and big. And you know the saying, you know, people that go against J.C. Latham, they say, you know, once he gets his hands on you, it's over. And I think, you know, it's all good all around. But you know what? There's still a training camp that we have to see. The pads have to go on. So, you know, that's not crowning all-rookie team yet, and we'll see how the progress continues.
I'm just glad on the day that the thunderstorms were coming and the lightning was happening, he was out on the field, that Carl Spackler from Caddyshack wasn't out there saying, I keep playing. Remember, remember what happened? We all know what happened to the preacher who stayed out on the golf course too long in Caddyshack and he got struck by lightning. I'm glad JC's okay.
Yeah, for sure.
Last one before we let you run,
I keep playing.
Yeah, why not?
I don't think the heavy stuff's coming down for a while.
Who are you keeping an eye on? What are you keeping an eye on in OTAs tomorrow?
I'm going to keep watching Gabe Judy Lawley, and I think that's quietly a really outstanding story. You talk about corners being connected and getting in the receiver's chest, and he's been doing just that. So I'm going to watch him. He's a guy that, you know, has had a series of battles with DeAndre Hopkins that, you know, have been really good. You know what I mean? So I'll be watching him. I'm curious to see, you know, how they continue to do some of the things I'm watching them do with the defensive line and linebackers and just the defense overall, you know, all three levels of it. So that's going to be my focus.
TD, you are the best. Appreciate you as always.
All right. Take care. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, TD.